So my message today has to do with the church itself, and I'll call it reinvigorating the church. And I guess the interest in this subject came from reading a book that was titled Autopsy of a Deceased Church.
Yeah, Brian.
All right, everything's cool.
Okay, so the reason I got interested in this subject was at the feast, your buddy Dennis Thomas, I believe his name is. So he was giving out free books to a bunch of people down here. He gave me one. The title of the book was Autopsy of a Deceased Church by Tom Rainier. And I think Dennis was interested in this because as we look around at the Churches of God movement, I'm talking United Church, Philadelphia Church, Church of God International, Intercontinental Church of God, you'll notice if you visit some of these congregations like I do, that it's much like what I see in the room here today. Maybe a couple young kids, mostly older adults, my age or older, and we're noticing that the church is graying. The church is getting older, and we need an infusion of younger people in the church in order to keep it going, to keep it alive, to keep it viable. Just some statistics I can give you as far as the Church of God International is concerned. Our annual income has decreased since about 20 years ago, about $500,000. So again, when you look at that over a 20-year period, losing $500,000, and again, losing people over that 20-year period too, you start to say, well, wow, look, we need to do something. Now, that's not to say that all of our churches are this way. If you go to places like Toronto, if you go to places like Detroit, Medina, Ohio, they are definitely vibrant churches with numerous people, numerous young people, and they're actually growing in some locations. But many of our churches are just like what we see in this room. I was in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago, and again, that church is even older than this church. And I'm not saying old in a bad way. I'm just saying they're much older in Indianapolis, and they just lost a couple people since I was last there because they are all advanced in age. So we need to start thinking about this type of thing. And even a group like United, which is probably the biggest church that maintains our belief system out there, you will see that there are problems there. There was a split of the United Church just a few years back. United is looking at not even paying their ministers now in order to deal with the fact that they have less funds coming in. So all the churches of God are looking at these issues. And of course, with God, we don't have to worry. God's going to keep His church going. And that's not to say there are other people out there other than those Church of God movement people that are part of God's church. But I just wanted to give you some examples of why I'm discussing this topic today. So again, the author that I'm getting some of these ideas from today is Tom Rainier, and the book was Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And I want to turn to the prophet Haggai and to begin things here and look at some things that he had to say. This will be over in Haggai chapter 1. And again, he's one of those minor prophets, minor in the sense that it's a short book, and it's sometimes hard to find. So,
Zephaniah.
Okay, after Zephaniah, I saw Zephaniah.
Before Zechariah.
There it is. There it is. There he is. Thank you. Okay, I did pass him over because he's so short. Okay, so Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2 I want to read to you. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. And the point here is they were focusing on their own houses. They were not focusing on God's house. And he says, hey, listen up. You guys need to focus on me as opposed to yourselves. And if you drop down to verse 9 of this same chapter, it says there, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. And that just brings the point home further, that we need to be focusing on God first, the kingdom of God first, rather than all the issues that take over our lives. And believe me, they will take over our lives. I'm in a job right now where when the classes are in session, we're there till late in the day, maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock, and usually I leave at 2:30 on a regular day when a class is not in session. I was working with Shernette this week. We were moving her boxes that she has stored for her foundation out of some smaller rooms into a larger room. And again, we were spending a lot of time there. The first day we went there, we were there for an hour. We didn't do anything because we were trying to figure out how to get all of this stuff into there. And this Thursday, we made a lot more progress on that. But again, things will take over our time. Now, that sort of thing is good because that's going to help other people eventually when she gives that stuff to them. But you know how things can take over our lives and we can forget to do the most important things which relate to the work of God. So that's where I'm going in today's message. And I wanted to begin by looking at what Haggai, again, one of the prophets of God, had to say to the people then. And that message definitely resonates with us today. Now, when we look back on a church like the Worldwide Church of God, which is where some of us learn some of the information that we have today in the movement that we are in today, you will hear stories of people back then telling you that when the church started and they started to go to the church, they had to drive 1 hour, 2 hours. I heard some people tell me they drove 3 hours to get to church on a regular basis. And again, 3 hours is a little much for me. I mean, I'll go up to New York and come back in a day, but I do that 4 times in a year. You know, I'll drive to Indianapolis, but again, I'll do that once a year. So, you know, this type of thing was happening. The church was on fire at this time, with many people driving many, many miles just to get to services. They were coming to services also on feast days twice a day. It wasn't just on the first and the last day that they had two services. They would have services twice a day every day of the feast. And again, for me, I think that's a little too much, especially for young people. You need to just take some time and relax, of course. That's part of what the feast is all about also. But again, I'm just trying to show you that people were on fire. They had that enthusiasm. They had that energy for the work of the church. And it was manifesting itself in those particular ways. Now, we can't make the past our hero. Because a lot of these people will say, well, I wish it was like it used to be. Well, it's never going to be like it used to be. The past is over. You can never go back to the past. You can always go forward, though, and you can change things in moving forward and learning from that past. And the Church of God International has done this recently with our TV program. We were stuck in this mindset that we've got to maintain that TV program, and we were not getting the bang for our buck that we were in the past. because of the plethora of TV shows that are out there and cable stations and all of the things you can get to on the web. So finally, when we made that change a few years ago and we went to web advertising of the show, we are getting much more for our money by mainly running the show through the internet than we were the last few years that we had the program exclusively on the Word Network and on other local programs in certain parts of the country. So yeah, we did make a change. We saw that we needed to make that change, and right now it has been a successful change for us in that regard. But when you look at the Bible and you look at how God worked with a lot of the patriarchs in the Bible, you see that He worked through change, that they all had to bring about some sort of change in their lives. Whether it was Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees to go to another location because God told him, you got to get out of this place. Whether it was Moses leaving Egypt, or God getting him to come out of the desert and go to Egypt once he was out there. Whether it's Noah building that ark and God telling him, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to go through this change into this new world that will be created from this flood. Or even Christ dying. The Father and the Son had to agree way back at the beginning of time, or wherever they agreed to it, that He was going to die. The Son was going to die for mankind. And He had to change His nature, become man when He was God, in order to make this plan work the way that they wanted it to work. And then an apostle like Paul, who suffers from robbers, from shipwrecks, from being jailed, and going through all kinds of twists and turns once he became a Christian, that was different from his life as a religious leader among the Jews. All of these people had to change, and we need to change also. Now, many times it's difficult to change. It's not easy for humans to change. When you think about change management, and I've read about it at work, there are some people who love change. They're always looking for that new thing. They love to try something else. There's people who hate change. They never want to change. And there's a large group in the middle who needs to be brought slowly into change. Once they see what we're trying to do, how we can do it, and they test it and try it, like dipping your foot into the water when you go to the beach, they slowly will get in to the change. And I say this because I'm thinking of a story around the time of the explosion at Mount St. Helens. And you guys all might remember this story. In 1980, in May of 1980, Mount St. Helens exploded in Washington State. And there were a number of people within the environs of that mountain that died from the lava flow that came out of the mountain. But weeks and even months before Mount St. Helens blew, seismologists were saying that mountain is going to blow. And people living within this particular distance of the mountain will die if they don't move. And one individual named Harry Randall Truman said, I'm not moving. He didn't buy it. He didn't buy that mountain was going to blow, and he stayed there, and the lava flowed over his home and killed him. Let's not be Harry Randall Truman. If we need to make changes, if we need to do something different, let's try to do it in order to make our church here locally more viable to the community around us. So when we think about, well, what do we do to make our church more viable? There are a number of things we can think about, and let me just address a few of them. One of the points that came out in the book was to reach out to people that are close by. Now, when I think of where some of you live, I'm thinking of faith in particular. Faith is right down the street. And I think one of the reasons you mentioned that this was an interest to you was because it's right up the street, okay? And when I think of Karen, how far are you from here? Yeah, so Karen is very close here. That might play into why you're here also. And again, this isn't true of everyone, but I think that it matters if we are close to this community that we should reach out to this community in some way. Now, how to do that, I haven't thought of yet. And if you have ideas, please let me know. I've thought of flyers maybe to this area, making them aware of who we are when we're here, things of that nature, that is one idea that has come to my mind. But again, I'm just whetting our appetites on this subject today, and we can think about it more as we move forward. But I'd like you to look at a scripture in relation to this. It's over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 1. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And again, my point here is that as Christians, one of our main focuses needs to be the interests of others. And for us locally here, it should be the interests of those right around us, because we're all God's children, and maybe we can connect with those right around us. Now, we do this in some ways right now. Every three months or so, when you guys bring your food in and we collect it and I take it over to the Gaithersburg Health location, which is in the Muddy Branch Shopping Center down the road there, they know who we are now over there, and we are feeding people who live in this community right around us. So again, if you have ideas how we can connect more with folks. My wife and I have been talking about looking at the volume of stuff that she has there. It's amazing how much free stuff you get from Target, from what are some of these names of these children's clothing stores? You name it, we've gone to a number of stores, and on a regular basis they will call her and give her another box or two of stuff that is now to the rafters of this 10 by 20 foot room that she has in a storage place over there. It's full from the bottom of the floor to the ceiling of this storage facility. So, we're thinking of getting together with us here and having a day like maybe every 3 or 4 months where we give away things to people in the community in some way. So if you have ideas on people in the community who need stuff, talk to me and let's figure out how to do this, because I'm tired of moving stuff around over there. Okay, so another thing when you think about this is that not being inwardly focused, how can we take care of others? And looking at Mark 10, let's take a look at that. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, just on this same idea. I want to show you a scripture in Mark 10 and verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So again, we got to give it up, whatever it is, whether it's time, whether it's energy, whether it's money, whether it's whatever, you've got to decide in your own mind, what more can I do? And we're not asking you to make yourselves destitute. We're not asking you to become poor by helping through your time, energy, or resources. You've got to take care of your family. You've got to take care of yourself. And you know how that looks for yourself. The Bible also says in the New Testament that if you don't take care of your own family, you're no good to the church anyway. You're not following God's dictates anyway. But think about, what more can I do as a Christian? And you're going to have to let that work through your mind and brain and determine what that is for you, what more you can sacrifice of yourself. Philippians chapter 2, let's go back there, looking at another scripture along these lines. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll pick it up in verse 5 this time. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Yeshua Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Christ became a man so we can become like God. But I've preached in the past that we've got to keep reaching for being like him now. Right now, right now, right now. So he definitely sacrificed in this human life, did he not? Okay? He was out there walking around, talking to everybody, performing miracles, raising people from the dead, getting beaten, getting spit upon. What more can you do? You need to ask yourself that question. What more can you do? Now, something that came up in Rainier's book was, he was mentioning this book called The Love Dare Book, and it's based on the movie Fireproof. Now, I did not read the book and I did not see the movie, but in the movie Fireproof, the husband is trying to save his dying marriage, and every day for 40 days, he does something selflessly for his spouse. Regardless of how his spouse is treating him, regardless of what is happening, he is going to do something selfless for 40 consecutive days. Or actually, that's that idea from the movie got into the book, and that's what the book talks about doing. And if you think about that in regard to your relationship with Christ, you know, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do the next day? What am I going to do that third day? You know, set up a little game for yourself. Create this for yourself as to what you will do, and maybe new ideas will be engendered because of this thinking process that you're changing in your mind. So that's an idea that we may want to try. 1 Corinthians 12 fits right in with the concept of that movie in the book. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body's not made up of a part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. So again, no matter what you're doing right now, there's something about you that is special to this group. Okay? There's something about somebody in every church group out there that is special to that group. Figure out what it is. If you don't think that you are being utilized the way you think you could be utilized, talk about it. Bring it up. what is it about you that can be brought forward and utilized by that body that you are a member of? We all need to think about that and determine what that is and try to use those capabilities that we have right here and right now. Another point that was made in the book was praying together. And I think we've begun to do this when we have intercessory prayer. Maybe we need to instill that a little bit more, where the person at the end of the service will always bring up who's ever on our prayer list. Now, we know from our list that was sent to you by Tom in the newsletter that we have a regular prayer list that we put names on. But again, we always have names being added, like Petra most recently, like Tom for Tuesday. And again, Lewis mentioning to me his loneliness and need to connect with people in the church. So again, for those who take on the closing prayer, if you can remember those names that are brought up in services that day, if you have other names, feel free to bring those into the prayer when we do that together publicly. And maybe we need to set up a day where we're going to pray, whether it's a Wednesday or a Thursday, that this day, the Church of God International Gaithersburg is going to say special prayers or more prayers on that particular day. Or we're going to fast on a particular day once a month, and we're going to fast about this or we're going to fast about that. Whatever it may be, these are some things we need to come to agreement on and do this as a church body. Again, not everyone has to take part in it. I'm not trying to force anyone to do anything here, but we need to start thinking as a body and working together in unison on some of these things where we can. And we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. And as I said before, some churches, they have meetings on a Wednesday night, and then you come to church on Sunday, and then there's some other activity during the week. Because of our distances, because of our numbers, we don't have that capability, but maybe there is more we can do in trying to stay focused. In Philippians chapter 1, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 1 this time rather than chapter 2. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So again, what he's getting at here is he's maintaining this focus. From the beginning, when he first got into this, until now, it's a continual thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's an everyday thing for him. And in order for a church to remain viable, the people within that church need to stay focused. Problems that arise in the church sometimes lead to a church falling away and dying. And in Rainier's book, he mentions this as being one of the signs that there's problems in a church. Now, I haven't seen this type of problem here, where he's talking about people in church start fighting over the color of the drapes. People in church start fighting over the windows. Now, we've had some issues with the heat and the air conditioning in here, but it hasn't been to the degree that people are upset at each other. I'm just using that as a little comic humor here in regard to what Rainier was saying in the book. For the churches of God, I do see this, though, happening in issues like the calendar, the holy days, and various other issues that, rather than work together and just work through those issues, there's no reason that we have to split over it. Some churches have split over those types of things. We're able to have differences of opinion in here, as we do on some things, yet we're still able to meet together despite those minor differences. And they are very minor, differences. Another point that comes up in Scripture here on this is over in Matthew 6. So let's turn to Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. And what it says here is, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And this gets back to the rich young man who was downcast because he couldn't give up his riches to follow Christ. You know, we've got to make sure that we can give it all up and follow Christ no matter what it is that might be pulling us away from doing more for that gospel message. Another thing the church needs to remember is we are imbued with God's Holy Spirit. We are imbued with God's Holy Spirit. That is a power within this universe that cannot be overtaken by anything else. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it tells us this. Acts 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So if we've got this power, that power doesn't just manifest itself by activity. That power can also manifest itself through your thinking. All right? Just you thinking about ideas. You thinking about something new to try. You thinking about some change to employ. If you've got God's Holy Spirit inside of you, call upon that power to help you determine what is a better way to go, what is a new thing to try that will be more viable for the church. And then we need to come together and make plans in regard to whatever it is we come up with. Now, towards the end of his book, he starts to address the signs of a sick church. So I just wanted to bring them to us to see if we see these signs. And again, when you see all of the signs, that lets you know that there definitely are issues. If you're only seeing a couple signs, it doesn't mean hope is lost. It's just take note. So let me show you the signs that he mentions in his book. One was numerical decline. Now, we haven't really declined. We've always been kind of like we are today. We get a couple new people, we lose a couple people, some people move, some people come along. So we've kind of been at this number for a long period of time. And again, the Bible makes it clear that the people who are really following God at the end of the age, they're going to be a small group of people. Okay? So we need to keep that in mind also. But there's always room for improvement. So, numerical decline. Now, if we were here with two people next week and it stayed like that for 6 months, something happened, okay? We need to find out what it was that happened and address that. Another point he brings out is apathy. Just plain old apathy. That you aren't trying to do anything. It's just like, you just come to church like you brush your teeth in the morning or turn on your car to go somewhere in the daytime. You know, you don't want to become apathetic in your Christian walk. You want to be thinking about, what am I doing? What can I do different? What have we tried? What have we not tried? You want those things going through your brain from week to week or month to month. At least you're thinking about it at some time and coming up with new ideas, because more minds together are better than one or two minds thinking about ideas. We want to bring everyone together and get their ideas and see what we can come up with. So again, I don't feel that we are apathetic. I believe doing things like Gaithersburg help, getting other speakers to come in here and visit us so you're not hearing me or Tom all the time. Those are good ideas. If you feel that you want to speak, talk to me and we can talk about that and get you going in creating a message. And you can start out for 10 minutes if that's what you feel comfortable with. If that's something that grabs you. Faith has come to me with various ideas. We've tried some of them over the weeks and months. I've forgotten some of the times. She has to remind me again. But again, just keep active in that activity of thinking about trying something new. We got the Sabbath school going. And now that it's going, we got to keep it going. Even if we only have one student come, we gotta keep it going, because when people come to visit, they'll know, oh yeah, we already got this class. We got two great instructors. They're enthused about it. It's already there, okay? We've had people come in the past, and I know for a fact that some who came with little children told me later when they weren't coming anymore that was one of the reasons they weren't coming anymore, was because there was nothing for the little kids. So again, we got to be forward thinking about this, not just thinking about our needs, but the needs of anyone who might show up at the door. What could we offer them to keep them interested and coming back? Point number three that he makes about signs of a sick church are that new members are rare. So again, we've got a couple of these points, but that may be for other reasons. There are so many other churches out there that are focused on Sunday keeping, focused not on the holy days. And again, we have a different focus, so that is going to make us different. So when we look at this, we've got to think about, he was looking at all churches in that way. Another one that he mentioned, which I've got to think about, is the pastors were in and out. Or what he meant by that was a pastor came in for 3 years and then moved on to another church. That they didn't have someone that they could rely upon for the long term. Again, I go and visit places from time to time. We don't have church on a third Sabbath. If you think that's an issue, let me know. Part of the reason we don't have a church on a third Sabbath is because I have to travel about, and part of it was due to the distances that people were driving. But if you think we should have it every week, then let's have it every week if you think that we should. Let me know about that. We'll think about that and talk to me, and we can talk together about that type of thing. That was something that he mentioned. And then he also mentions that it was a long time since people felt good about coming to church. That was a sign you had a sick church. So again, for me, coming here, when I leave at the end of the day, sometimes I come in here with not a great attitude. I usually leave here with a better attitude because of you guys. You guys give me a good attitude if I don't have a good attitude. And usually I do have a good attitude. But I have never felt that when I'm coming to church that I don't want to come there. If it becomes just rote thing to do, there's a problem there. You need to analyze that and think about that. Or do you feel good about coming to church? That's something to think about. And he says if you've got three of these checks out of those five, then you might be a sick church. So that's just something for us to look at. And then he says, well, how do you respond to this? And that's where I'm going to conclude today's message, is how to respond to this. And he says, if you think it's a sick church, don't delay acting upon that, okay? That you need to act on it. Do something about it. Whatever it is, just try things and see what happens. Just because you try something and it doesn't work doesn't mean, oh my goodness, that was terrible. No, that's what life's about. Life's about trying things, changing things, and then finding that better road to take. He says to pray for wisdom and strength to do what is needed. So we all need to be praying about our church, about our walk together to get to that kingdom. And you've got to have a willingness to change. We've got to be able to say, yeah, we can change. You can't get too comfortable. You can't rest on your laurels And a lot of issues in the Church of God movement today, I feel, relate to that fact that some of these churches are resting on their laurels. They don't want new people. They want a certain type of person, and they don't want certain people coming to them. That's not where we can be in our outreach. We've got to be open to everyone and working with them, even if they're new to what we have as beliefs. We've got to reason with them in a different way so they can understand why we believe what we believe and why we hold fast to that gospel message. And also, he says, you've got to focus your action outward. And what he meant by that was out into your local community. And that was one that was resonating with me as I read this book. Even though we've done the Gaithersburg Help thing, we haven't really put our faces out there in the community like just one thing would be putting flyers maybe in that apartment building right over here. You know, just putting flyers in every one of those mailboxes over there one day, announcing the church over here and when we meet, just to see what came of it. That would be something in that regard of getting action-oriented, an outward focus. Because we can come in here and we can have a social hour with each other and we all seem to like each other and get along and have fellowship at the end, and that's all nice and good, and that's part of what church is. But another big part of it is always reaching out, not stopping the outreach to the community. Jesus, the apostles, the whole New Testament is about that. It's about moving forward and reaching out and touching someone, if you know what I mean, okay? And getting other people to converse on that whole concept of the kingdom of God. So again, I just wanted to get us started in thinking about this. Today's the first step. We can talk about it after services today. We can talk about it after services the next time we're together. But let's start thinking about changes or things we want to try moving forward. And we've already begun with starting a Sabbath school. You know, it's already up and running. We've been doing it a couple times now. And it's there. So that's the type of thing I'm talking about. Looking to the community at large right around us maybe makes it a lot easier for people to get here on a regular basis. So let's start thinking of that. Two scriptures to end. If you could please turn over to Matthew 19 and verse 26. Matthew 19 and verse 26 is one. And this will just pump you up a little bit, I think. Matthew 19:26, which says this: Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Okay, I love that scripture. That really helps me. All things are possible with God, folks. Don't ever forget that promise in your Bible. And then finally, Matthew 16 and verse 18. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, I know the church is more than just us here, but right here is part of the church. You can't deny that. And God says nothing can stop that church.